outside linebackers coach and also special teams coach, Kelly Papinga. Kelly, we welcome you into the unofficial launch of the Cougar Sports ESPN 960 show, and you're kicking us off as the first interview ever. How you doing?
Oh, I am honored. I am an honored man right now to be the first ever guest. So fired up.
We can feel the honor coming through your intonation. Kelly, I wanted to touch base with you and get your thoughts on the season. But before we talk about the season, let's talk about how the season actually ended. It ended on somewhat of a negative note, right? Something that, it ended on a loss. It was probably, out of all the non-P5 bowl games, that was the most exciting. It had the most hype, yep. The most talk after the fact. With the double overtime loss, it was intriguing, it was exciting, and then the brawl on top of that, which is, for some, positive, but I think BYU looked at it as a negative. So you end on a negative note with a loss and the brawl. How has the BYU coaching staff and the administration at BYU turn this into just a more positive feeling around the program, and what has changed since the end of the season?
Yeah, no, it's a really good question. I think really the best way that I can answer this is that since the bowl games happened till now, one of the best things that we've done in our program is we fired a new strength coach. And I would say that's, been our main focus since the season's got over. We with Coach Ulmer retiring, you guys know who, I've dealt with him before, a great man, a great coach. And but the program was ready, kind of for a new age, and our guys have gone in, and Frank's come in, and he's freaking just turned this thing around and has done a great job of getting our guys, a new energy brought to our team. Our guys are excited about something new to train for, coming to the weight room every day at 6 a.m., ready to go to running condition. And so I think that's been the main thing, because I think that's the biggest hire that, other than the head coach, that the program needs is who their strength coach is, just because that guy's around those guys so often and all the time. And when people get to know Frank and see what he is going to bring to our program, he's going to change a lot of different things. He's going to bring a different energy to our team, a different type of attitude to our team. And believe it or not, he has a lot of similarities to Coach Mendenhall and how he likes to train guys. But also, he has a new age and a new way to do it. Which is sometimes, a lot smarter than what Coach Mendenhall does. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Well, it's tough. We were chatting about that in Bronco. Mendenhall, we would all run through a wall for Bronco. Yeah. He pushed us to the limit. But at times we would overtrain and be, just a little bit off balance with our muscles, and it would lead to kind of pulled muscles and stuff like that. But our mental fortitude was shooting through the roof, buddy. Oh, yeah. We were the strongest mentally in the entire nation, I felt.
Yeah, and then, that's something. Frank is going to add something to that as well. He's going to bring, he has some little mental, training things that he does with our guys on top of training, the whole body. He's also going to train that mental toughness part. So I would say, to answer your question, Ben, that would be the number one thing that we have done to help this program go forward, is hiring a new strength coach and getting it ready on, getting the program to continue to go forward that way. I'd also say on top of that, the season did not end the way that we hoped it would end. Obviously, a disappointing loss in overtime in a game that I thought our guys fought really hard and played really hard all the way until the end. And Memphis was a good team, and they scored a lot of points on pretty much everybody they played all season. And unfortunately for us as a defense, we couldn't slow them down. And that was kind of a, I don't know the right word to say, but it was kind of the signature of our defense this year. We didn't play up to par and play up to our potential that we had played in the past, the last nine seasons, and very disappointing. And I think our guys, defensively at least, are very hungry to get back and to show everybody out there what BYU is all about. And that was, over the past 9 years of playing dominant defense and finishing in the top 25 in almost every statistical category the past nine seasons. And so they're hungry to get back to that, because they don't want to be known as the team or the defense that, brought the defense back to less than mediocre, and so I think that's left a bad taste in their mouth, man. And those guys have been out training, they've been in the film room studying, and they're really, they're working harder than any defense that I've seen in the first 2 weeks of a training period. It's been very impressive in the leadership that stepped up. And so I'd say that's been the most positive thing that's happened with our program, is more leadership is stepping up, and our guys are anxious to get back to work to have a, you know, a great 2015 season.
Yeah, you also highlighted Frank Wintrick and the hiring of him. And, you know, I have to wonder, as we look back in the season and moving forward with Frank as a strength and conditioning coach, you know, what is he trying to address? Is there a specific weakness? Where did BYU lose? What position groups lost their battles and that led to, you know, those L's in the loss column?
Yeah, I mean, really, I think you probably could point at every single position that, you know, had at some point in the season, you know, there's a letdown, either with, you know, an injury or maybe guys not being strong enough or tough enough or whatever it may be. And I think Frank is going to address everything that maybe we had a weakness with last season. The thing that's super impressive with this guy over the last two seasons at North Texas, and this is amazing to me, zero soft tissue injuries in two seasons, the last two seasons at North Texas, zero. So no hamstring pulls, no groin pulls, nothing of that manner, which is blows my mind of just thinking about all the issues that we've had here with our soft tissue and, you know, injuries over the last couple of years. And so that's very impressive to me. And I think he told me during his interview process in the last two or three years, he's only had two or three ACLs. And those were both contact injuries. And so, and in the last 3 years, no labrum issues. And so it sounds like this guy, he's going to get our bodies in full balance. He's going to make sure there's no deficiencies in certain areas, the areas that are stressful, especially the joints, the knees and the shoulders and the ankles. And then obviously, you know, keeping those hammies and those glutes and those, you know, groins, keeping, making sure they're staying strong and you know, keeping them ready to play football. And so very impressive that way. So I'm anxious to see how he's going to apply that to our team and how our team's going to accept that and go forward and being, you know, one of the healthiest, most conditioned football programs in the country.
Coach, he has those great numbers because there's no perfect tens that they have to run. guys aren't pulling their hamstrings. See, Ben's looking at me like, what is a perfect ten? Perfect tens, man, was one of the worst things I've ever think I went through. Worse than pursuits. Are you guys still doing perfect tens?
Yeah, we're still doing perfect tens, and you know, we're still going to do those things, and really, we're going to do things probably even crazier at times, but in a smart way. Frank's all about working guys really, really hard, and you know, Coach Mendel, he's the same way. But I think what he's going to bring that we haven't had in a while is a guy that's going to say, "Hey, it's time to pull off a little bit, and you know, let's be smart about this." And there's a science behind everything of, you know, killing guys and work them really hard and then pulling them back. And so I think just bringing a fresh face into the mix, but with a similar mindset that Coach Mendenhall has, is going to be a good blend for our staff, and I'm anxious to see how that goes. But we're going to still continue to do all those things, man. In 2010, the perfect tens were necessary.
Brian's kind of weak. He didn't get that mental fortitude going. I would have loved it.
I only had two years. You know, I didn't have the full 4 years in the program to get my mental capacity, you know, up to par. But it was horrible, man. It was necessary. It took our defense to the whole another level. And just a side note for all you fans / players that are listening right now, we actually got Coach Papinga and Coach Howe to run those perfect teams with us, and then we ran them perfectly every single time because they were running with us. They weren't able to judge us. So that's the secret, Coach. Don't let those guys fool you. Make them run with you.
Yeah, there you go.
Right there. Kelly Papinga, current outside linebacker, and you're still handling, I think, the special teams, or at least some of the special teams, Kelly, especially this offseason going into the season. Talk to us about recruiting. This is a really hot time right now to not only you know, throw out a lot of positive propaganda to your recruits and to close them. There's been decommitments from BYU, from Utah State. There's young men that are searching for schools outside of the state of Utah. What is BYU doing to kind of combat some of that propaganda and keep them here in state?
Yeah, I would say, you know, right now, kind of a, you know, a different deal than we've faced over the last couple of years. There's more kids in the state of Utah right now that are not committed than there is out of state. We've committed a lot of guys out of state. And for some reason, the in-state kids maybe aren't as hungry to come to BYU, or, you know, for some reason, I mean, everybody has their own opinion and, you know, will come up with their own reasons why, but the kids that are out of state are committing, and the guys that are in state, we're battling for those guys more. And I think Utah's getting recruited better than it has over the past, you know, 5 or 6 years. There's, you know, shoot, man, there's kids that have committed to, you know, Ohio State and all these other schools, you know, around the country, which has never happened, you know, since I've been a coach here till this year. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think we're battling with bigger name schools, and they're seeing that Utah has talent. And, you know, I think, you know, there's other things that go into that I'm not going to get into. But the thing that we're doing is we're just selling what BYU is all about, what it always is about, Mitch. It's a special place, and it's a different place than anything anybody else can offer in the country. And everybody knows, you know, what those things are. But I'd also say, on top of that, the things that, you know, we're trying to sell as much as we possibly can is the tradition that BYU has been, what it offers and what it can't be, and what our schedule is going to be in the future, and the teams that we're going to be going on the road to play, the teams that are going to be coming to our place. And it's nothing like anybody's ever seen in BYU history. And so we are getting as much talent as we possibly can. I'd say more talent than we've ever got, especially out of state. And Coach Holliday has done an amazing job in Texas of recruiting, and that's where a lot of our guys are coming from. And I think it's really going to help our program to take the next step forward. And I'm really anxious to, you know, see this last week, see how it unfolds, and get these guys on our visit this upcoming weekend. And you know, we have about 6 or 7 guys out there that are kind of on the fence, waiting to see what happens this weekend. And we're ready to get those guys committed and become Cougars next Wednesday.
Yeah, Coach, that was going to be my next question was, you know, why are you losing these guys, the in-state guys? But definitely makes sense when,
well,
when you're battling,
right?
It definitely makes sense when you're battling, yeah, against the bigger name schools, you know, the Oregons or the Ohio States. That definitely makes sense for a kid to want to go. That, I mean, those are almost dream schools, right? So it, yeah, makes sense there. Yeah. But, Coach, something that was really intriguing for me when I was getting recruited, which was not by many schools, more D2 schools and AA schools, was the fact that, hey, we have an opportunity here to send you to the next level, you know, regardless of anything else. And you know, for me, as I see the program, especially on the defensive side, so many guys getting looks, you know, guys like Alani that are getting invites to the combine, even a couple of years ago with all the different guys getting those invites. How much has that helped you and the recruiting pitch these last few years?
Yeah, you know, and that's what I'm selling. That's what I'm selling mainly to the guys on defense, obviously, and the guys at outside backer. And I got, you know, 2 or 3 guys right now that I'm really trying to hammer home this last week to help them, you know, sign on that dotted line to become a Cougar. But the thing that I'm selling to those guys is really, not many people know this, and I don't say that Ziggy Ansah was my guy in my project, but he did start at outside backer. So, yep, you know, outside backer / DN, that was in the NFL combine and drafted overall, you know, 5th overall in 2012.
That was your project, Coach. He started outside linebacker. You claim that.
Well,
Coach.
Detroit's coaching staff has actually come out the last 2 years and said just because of his versatility, because he played so many positions, his learning curve wasn't as steep, and he's been able to be implemented in a whole lot more schemes. So,
boom, yeah, right there.
So, you know, you got Ziggy, who was 2012. You got Kyle Vannoy, that was 2013, going to the NFL Combine, getting drafted in the 2nd round. Yep. Alani Fua now makes it 3 years in a row where an outside backer has been brought, you know, invited into the NFL Combine. We'll see where he gets drafted. And then I think there's another guy in Bronson Capuzzi that's going to be invited to the NFL Combine and, you know, have a chance to get drafted in 2000, you know, after the 2015 season. And so that's going to be, in my opinion, going to be 4 years in a row where an outside backer's been invited into the NFL Combine and have a chance to go play and get drafted in the NFL. And so, and then you add, you know, Brian Keel and David Nixon.
Yep.
You add Spencer Hadley into that mix. BYU's rich in the outside linebacker tradition, and that's what our defense is built around, and that's why I'm selling to these guys that not you're going to be the dude when you're at BYU, but on top of that, you're going to have a great chance to play at the next level, and in history shows. And, you know, stats don't lie, data doesn't lie, and that's what I'm selling to those kids right now is just what's happened over the last couple of years in our scheme and where these guys are going into the NFL.
Kelly Papinga, BYU outside linebackers coach and special teams coach here on Cougar Sports on ESPN 960. Kelly, in that same vein, you know, Bronco initially in 2006 to probably 2009, I remember the rhetoric being, yeah, you know, we're putting a lot of guys into the NFL. There was a little bit of a lull there where you weren't getting as many guys to the NFL and getting them drafted and having them stick there. I do think it's improved. Spencer Hadley is in the NFL right now. He got a nice contract with the Oakland Raiders. I mean, your resume is looking really good right now, yes. Kelly. But we're struggling maybe in some of the other position groups. And Bronco Mendenhall at times has been kind of in the middle of the road, whether, you know, we should push guys to get to the NFL and have that be kind of a dream for them and help them live out that dream, or you know, letting them have a dosage of reality, right, and saying, hey, this is the percentage of guys that get to the league, this is the amount of time they spend in the league, and then look at all the negative effects there too. How can Bronco maybe do a better job of you know, promoting, you know, this dream that all these young men have, but also still tell them, hey, this is the reality situation. We want you to get to the NFL, but if it doesn't work out, this is what we're supposed to do with that education that you came here to get.
Yeah, I would say, you know, I think Coach Ben, I think that the perception out there is the message, at least to our team, and, you know, I don't know what he shares with the media or whatever, but what he shares with our team is his number one goal is if they have a goal to get to the NFL, that is our job as coaches to develop those guys to become NFL players. And, you know, on top of that, you're going to come to BYU and you're going to get a great education and have a chance to get a great job once you leave BYU. And so, you know, at BYU, and you guys know this, there's we kind of see the bigger picture of life, and sometimes guys see that, okay, you know, I might not have the future in the NFL, and, you know, they go and be a doctor, or they're going off into business, or they're going to be a lawyer, or all that stuff. And so I think sometimes as players, and the majority of the guys on our team, I think, are like that. They see the bigger picture of things and see, you know what, I might not be quite the NFL caliber type of player, and they you know, go off and do their whatever the degree was. But I would say on top of that, more than any other school in the country that we're dealing with is we're dealing with return missionaries. And the bottom line is, return missionaries in the NFL, that's not something that they're looking for, because they've lost 2, sometimes 3 years if a guy's gray-shirted, of their career. And so these guys are entering into the NFL at 24, 25, 26 years old, where the majority of NFL players, sometimes their career is over by then. And so it's unless you are a stud, not me, the Brady Papingas of the world, the Brian Kills of the world, the Austin Collies of the world, the Dennis Pittas of the world, the John Becks of the world, those are the guys that are getting drafted. And they're getting drafted all around the same spot, around the fourth round. And so if you're going to go on a mission, you better come back and you better be a stud or you're not going to get drafted. And that's pretty typical of anywhere in the country. Paul Kruger, you know, return missionary, gets drafted in the second round. But you even look at Utah State. Not a lot of return missionaries getting drafted, and 70% of our team is return missionaries. And so, well, I'm not trying to make an excuse for these guys, but it's the reality. If you don't come home and you don't dominate at BYU and you're a return missionary, the chances of you going and getting drafted in the NFL, not very good. And so they're going to go, we have a ton of undrafted free agents. Daniel Swanson, Spencer Hadley, just in this last year alone, they went on as undrafted free agents and then ended up on, 53-man rosters. So that's one of the things that we're fighting against here, and we've got to hopefully change that perception with the NFL that our return missionaries can come home, they can have great careers and go, you know, play long careers in the NFL.
Last time I checked, Kelly, the amount of teams in the NFL that are running a 3-4 base defense and some hybrid there with some 4-3 is increasing. Over half of the teams in the NFL are running a 3-4-4-3 hybrid sometimes. How can BYU use that as a competitive advantage to bring more recruits in on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, and we've been doing that, and kind of going back to what I was saying about the outside linebackers, that's our sell to really our backers. It's a scheme that's really highlights outside backer and inside backer play, and that's what we've always been able to get here at BYU, and especially over the last 10 years, the guys that have gone and played in the NFL, the majority of those guys are, you know, linebacker guys. Now, what we are selling to those recruits, especially D-line, because we feel like we can take a step forward in our D-line talent, is that's what NFL player or NFL scouts are looking for are guys that can play in a 3-4 scheme, because that's what the majority of teams are playing, like you just said. And so what we sell is that our scheme is designed almost exactly after the Pittsburgh Steelers. We've gone out to the Steelers 2 or 3 times to get ideas, to talk with their coaches, and the scheme that you're going to play in is going to be an NFL scheme, and it's going to get you prepared to be ready to play in the NFL. And, you know, shoot, Dick LeBeau was a guy 2 years ago that we sat down with for 2 days, and he's one of the best defense coordinators in NFL history, and he helped with our scheme, helped kind of tweak our scheme a little bit, gave us new ideas, and so those are the type of things that we're selling to recruits to help them understand that a 3-4 scheme is something the NFL teams, you know, want, and, you know, that's where we're going. Every year we go to a different team. Last year we were at the 49ers. We went to the Houston Texans. This year we're going to the Patriots. So every year we're going to a new NFL team, trying to get new ideas, bring back ideas that will fit our scheme, fit our guys the best, to help us be the most successful on the field.
Coach, with all of the injuries that occurred last year, a lot of the younger guys had to step up and play, and guys like Fred Warner that just got off the yellow bus. You know, Coach Hill used to say that just in prom, yeah. You know, a couple of months ago, now is playing a pretty significant role. With that situation, have you guys really made it a point of emphasis to recruit for depth, or are you looking for somebody that can come in and start right now?
Yeah, so I would say for this next upcoming season, we got a lot of guys with playing experience that came back. We didn't have that last year. We lost a lot of guys that were NFL-type guys off of our defense from 2013. And coming into 2014, we felt like the top 11, 12 guys that we had were ready to play, were really, really good players. And we knew that we were going to have to develop depth quick during spring ball and during fall camp and bring those guys along like Fred Warner. And really what it came down to, when we hit that injury bug, man, it seemed like that Utah State game, from there on out, we were getting injuries like crazy, that we didn't have guys that were quite ready. And it took us a while. It took us a while to get Kai Nakua ready to come and, you know, start playing at a high level. It took us a while to get Fred Warner ready to play at a high level, Sione Takitaki, those type of guys. But now, that being said, now we got guys that are prepared for this upcoming season that are ready to go. And I think our depth is way better this year than it was in the past. And the guys that we're recruiting, I believe, are guys that can come in and play right away, just like you're saying. It's similar to Fred. That, you know, Fred came in and, you know, right away was having some type of role on the team, and his role increased. He ended up becoming a starter after some injuries. But I think that's always the goal, is you want to bring in guys that are ready to play. And I think really the two positions where you really can't do that a lot, well, really, I guess three if you add in quarterback, but the positions where you really kind of got to project and help guys come along are offensive line and defensive line. A lot of times those guys are not going to be college ready to play because their bodies aren't quite strong enough. They're not quite mature enough. And, you know, they just physically aren't ready to go. And so you're going to bring those guys along. You can't count on those guys, for the most part, to come in and play right away. But any other position, I believe that you can have guys ready to come and play and ready to have, some sort of role for you when they're coming in as a freshman.
Last question for you, Kelly. I know you got a ton to do. We don't want to take up any more of your time, but I want to get your thoughts on Bronco Mendenhall deciding to take over the defense again. And I'm sure that was that was tough for Coach Mendenhall to make that decision. I'm sure Coach Howe will still be heavily involved in preparation. Can you tell us, reveal to us kind of the dynamics of that and how, I guess, anything will change within the play calling or within the game planning?
Yeah, you know, we haven't really sat down as a defensive staff or even as a staff much since the season's ended, just because we've been out, recruiting started so much. But, what I do know is just Coach Mendenhall, he was kind of rolling back from offense and defense last year, trying to, do what most head coaches do and try to just see and be a part of everything. And I think he just felt like he wasn't having as much of an impact with players and with the team as he possibly could. And what it comes down to is he wants to help. And he feels like the best way that he can help is by coordinating the defense, because that's what he's been good at over the years. And so he feels the best way that he can help our team is by being the D coordinator. And I believe that comes with, calling the game. And, I don't know that for a fact, but that's what I'm assuming and guessing. And, we've been successful with him doing that. And with the current structure that we have with Coach Tidwell and myself and Coach Howell and Coach Kafusi and him,
in that room and game planning and getting our guys ready in practice and then going into a game, it's worked well from 2010 when Brian was there all the way up into 2013. I think we finished at least in the top 25 in total defense and points allowed over that, you know, 4-year span. And so I think he just feels like that's what he feels will best help our team. And was it hard for Coach Howell? Probably. I'm guessing it's been tough for him. But Coach Howell is a big boy, and he's not going to have his feelings hurt. And he feels probably at the same time that's what's going to help our team the most as well. And the other thing I'll say, you know, just trying to stick up for Coach Howell. I mean, this is the same guy that coached a great defensive backfield in 2010, the same guy that coached another one in 2011, the same guy that coached another one in 2012, and the same guy that coached another one in 2013. So I think he's getting a little bad rap out there. He's coached some really, really good defensive backfields in the past 5 years, especially from 2010 to 2013, ranking in the top 25 in, you know, defensive pass efficiency in every single one of those years. And so you guys know Coach Al. He knows what he's doing. He's been really successful coaching the defensive backfield, and he's going to continue to do that going forward. And I'm anxious to get back to work with all these guys and reaching our goals in 2015.
Kelly, appreciate all you're doing. Good luck on the recruiting front. As always, it's our pleasure to have you on air, and we'll do it again soon, brother. Appreciate you.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on. Good luck with the show.